Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. The big takeaway today is that inadvertently we've possibly come up with a multi-million dollar format that will be sold around the world.
A new hit.
Yeah. Tell us. Listen to what it is and tell us, even though it's a bit disgusting, that you wouldn't watch it.
Everyone would watch it.
We also looked at the game between Southampton and Liverpool tonight with two funny men who are on good form. One of them was Chris McCausland, the Liverpool fan. The other was Tom Deacon, the Southampton fan. So you'll hear from both of those.
Lovely stuff.
We chatted about
a bunch of stuff.
You got
food,
involved.
Melvin's.
Yeah.
All sorts.
Food,
all
Melvin's.
Found out what a rag pudding was.
Rag pudding. So if you don't know, stay tuned. Here it is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul.
It's not the first time I've seen it. I know you've been you're working on a project. I don't know if you can talk about that.
We'll do in a minute.
You're working on a project, and you came in the other week clean shaven. And whoa, who's that? And you said your daughter was a bit troubled by it last time you shaved it off. How old is she, by the way?
She's six. But last time I shaved my beard off completely, she was just did not like it. There were almost tears.
She's only known you
as a bearded
daddy.
I haven't always had a beard, I will say, you know.
Yeah.
I know I'm from Devon, but all of her life,
you've had a beard. So it's a bit frightening.
Her dad has a beard.
When daddy pops his head around the bedroom door for a good night story, oh, blimey, who's that?
Who's this? So I shaved it off on Sunday night too, but I made sure she was sat there.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Of course, went through it to watch it so she could see it was me. She was like, well, where does it come from? Will it ever come back? You know, so you're explaining all that, how that works as well.
Does she prefer you with a beard?
I don't think she's bothered now.
Okay, she's not really bothered.
She's not bothered now.
She's
you know,
got so over that hump.
If she draws me, she draws people. And if she draws me, she draws me with a beard.
Okay, so right, good.
But yes, and then lots of people look at you like, you look weird. Because have you ever had a beard, Paul? I don't know if you have. I had one years ago,
but I looked like a geography teacher. I didn't look after it as much. I was quite young. I don't know why I did it, really.
What it does, if you have a rounder face, it gives you a jawline. And also, suddenly when you shave off, your top lip looks absolutely massive.
I can see that now. It does
you
look
know,
a bit.
Moonface Martin. That's a character in something, isn't it? Moonface Martin.
I don't remember that.
It's all I can ever call myself.
Moonface Martin.
Like a right big moon face.
Look at Moonface Martin.
Is that a character in something, Paul? Let's hope it's something you can read out
about. Who is Moonface? Anything goes.
Anything goes. Oh, there we are. Moonface Martin, the musical. Yeah. And anyway.
Second rate gangster, labelled Public Enemy 13.
Yeah,
in Anything Goes. Were you in Anything Goes?
I've never been in Anything Goes, but the reason I've shaved it off is because I'm playing Tony Blair in a musical called Tony the Musical.
Is it Tony exclamation mark?
Exclamation, always exclamation. All the best ones do unless they're serious. So I'm playing Tony Blair, and Tony Blair didn't have a big beard, Paul.
No, he didn't.
I mean, it hasn't made me look any more like Tony Blair, if we're honest about it, but we had some photos done yesterday. So off it came. So there we are. But of course, I went through all the stages when I shaved it off.
Yeah, the sidey, big sidies. Looking for that casting for Emmerdale.
Exactly.
Kept the sidies on.
Big sort of mutton chops first, and then Elvis.
Yeah.
Keep the moustache.
Yeah.
And then down to the... We all know what happens
little
next.
Bit, the little bit under the nose for the sort of despot
trial. The Charlie Chaplin pull.
Let's call it the Charlie Chaplin.
Exactly.
Now, my old colleague on Fantasy Football and the co-creator of In Between Us, QPR fan, fine keeper.
Yeah.
A lot of people
know.
Ian Morris took to Twitter earlier on. And he said this, and I thought it might strike a chord with some of the listeners. Ian said, just found out I've been calling the postman the wrong name for 10 years.
Oh, no.
Not sure what to do now. Well, I think, Ian, you probably do. What you'll do now is, now you know his real name, you'll completely overuse it.
Yeah.
Every time you see him. If it is Dave, you'll say Dave five times in the space it takes him walking up to your door with the mail and then walking away again.
Morning, Dave.
We all
Thanks,
do it.
Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
It's so having a good day, Dave.
Yeah, so transparently saying, you're all right, mate, you've learnt my name's Dave. So, have you done that? Have you got a similar time scale to Ian's? Could you tell us? You just called someone by the wrong name? Maybe they died and you never got it right.
Never knew their
even
actual
worse.
Name.
You couldn't even put it right.
Saw their name in the obituary and you went, what? That wasn't them, surely not.
So that kicks us off. It's one of the things we'd like to hear from you on today.
Yes.
TalkSport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSHNJ. It's TSHANDJ. There was a lovely picture of David Beckham in his old family kitchen with his mum, Sandra, and she's cooked him his favourite meal that he had as a kid.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
So, I think it is a touchstone, because I think we've all been there when, my mum's thing was she made great chips, my mum.
Did
so
she?
So even long after I'd sort of left home, if I went back, and for whatever reason I was having a bit of tea there.
Yeah.
She'd do her chips. You know, she'd make good chips.
I was the oil. Old school chip pan.
Old school chip pan, yeah. Just
fill the pan full of oil.
Big, thick, old, but good chips.
Yeah,
that was her speciality. So we always have something like that. But listen to David's menu that Sandra knocked up for him. His favourite as a kid.
This is David. He can have anything in the world.
Yeah, this is the food of champions, though. And this is the thing he covets. And this is the thing when he thinks in years to come about these favourite meals. This will be it. Gammon, chips, pineapple. That's
lovely.
Nice.
Oh, lovely.
Fried egg. We all love a fried egg on the gammon.
Oh, yeah, smashing.
A beef eater staple. And then we go slightly off menu. We go mushy peas.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Bit of
green. Fair enough. Yeah, a bit of green.
The old marifat.
And coleslaw's been chucked in there.
Something cold with the hot.
Yeah, a coleslaw just melding into the mushy peas. A really kind of odd goo that would leave, wouldn't it? Yeah. And then afterwards, jam donut and a cup of tea.
Oh, that's quite
so you
lot,
have all the money in the world,
then,
but you covet your old mum's home cooking.
Yeah.
So if you're the same, if it's the only thing, something you wouldn't dream of eating unless it was in your old mum's kitchen, do let us know.
My mum's a lovely cook, Paul, but she went before pancake day, she'd always make us have liver.
Really?
I don't know why.
She didn't throw it up in the air, did she?
I don't
she
know catch why. I've asked her about it since. She and I was just trying,
the day before the same day?
No, on the same day. We'd always
have a liver starter.
Liver and onions.
Pancake dessert.
You can have your pancakes when you've eaten your liver.
Really? Bit of iron in you.
I mean, I'm sure it's good for you.
You're a fan of the liver?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I haven't had it for a while, and it might be the sort of thing that as you get older, you might go, oh, no.
Well, I'll tell you what, when it's National Liver Day, we'll get someone to bring some in for us. That would be a nice thing. So there probably is one. Also, Charlie, very quickly, we have Charlie's choice.
Yeah.
He said, I saw a bloke on telly called Melvin last night. He said, you don't get a lot of Melvins, do you?
I saw a bloke called Mel, and he was talking about something. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what's Mel short for? You know, not Mal, is it? Not Malcolm? And Sam went, well, it's Melvin.
Melvin,
oh, when did you last meet a Melvin?
Yeah.
Can't be many.
So,
can't
do you seriously want to ask?
I want to do. Does anybody know a Melvin under 50?
Do you know a Melvin under 50? Yeah, go on
then. That's a good one, Paul.
That's Charlie's. That's right. The title could be decided tonight. We've got a Europa League. It's all happening, but he wants to know if you know a Melvin under 50.
Do you know a Melvin under... call in.
Yeah, TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. You'll get no crowing from me, by the way. I've been supporting Tottenham for 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I will not be saying anything.
You know how Sunday
I'll
goes.
I'll be saying nothing about what happened last night. I might mention that purely because it was a great performance by Newcastle.
Yeah,
obviously,
good.
I was delighted to see them win. But I am not sitting here saying it's in the bag. I was quite troubled to it. Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville saying, it's done. It's all over. And you're thinking, this is Tottenham you're talking about, for goodness sake.
It's Tottenham and Arsenal. It's Tottenham playing someone they should absolutely hammer.
Well, it should be. It'd be very uncontent, but it could happen. I've seen it happen before. I've seen that particular film before, so you'll get no crowing from me. Wow. And I think all Tottenham fans should, yes, keep their counsel before they start sticking it to their Arsenal supporting mates, because it's a dish best served cold.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport. Big game in the Premier League this evening. Southampton could be the kingmakers. We'll be looking at the game from there.
Yeah.
Point of view a little bit later on. But before that, we take a look at it from Liverpool's point of view. Mm. You know, it's all or nothing tonight. We were saying yesterday to...
Adam, was it Adam?
No, my mind has gone completely blank. Andy Brassel.
Andy Brassel, right.
How could I forget? Andy's on with us every week talking European football. Real Madrid were able to rest loads of players at the weekend with a title in the bag. Liverpool don't have that luxury.
No.
Of course, and they do have a couple of injuries. But can they keep the dream alive this evening? We chat now to comedian and Liverpool fan Chris McCausland. Good afternoon, Chris.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
There we are. Yes, we can. It's like,
anyway, thanks for joining us, Chris. Thanks very much.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks for joining us. But in a couple of beautiful TV performances recently, we loved your bit with Lee Mack.
Oh, that was fantastic.
At the BAFTAs. That was great.
What a gamble that was. Because
because they can be, those things, those two-handers at award ceremonies can be a bit eggy, but you nailed it, the pair of you. It was great.
Let's just go on in front of the entire TV industry with a sketch that we don't know is funny that we've never ran before in a tough room. And it went really, really well. But I tell you, we were both relieved afterwards. I think we were more delighted than Sophie Willem, who we were presenting the awards to.
Well, you and Lee Mack, very naturally funny men. So, you know.
And that worked. And we saw on I Got News For You last week, so plenty of telly at the moment.
Yeah. It's all been good.
I've been gigging with Chris forever, Paul. And he's fantastic.
Sorry,
I've been gigging with you forever, Chris, and you've always been an absolutely brilliant comedian. One of those ones we've all gone, well, when's it going to break for Chris? And it feels like the time is now.
It's going really, really well. But like, you know, when you look at your career, I've been doing it for 20 years and it feels like I've been trying to make Brexit funny for a third of it. So, you know, just when you're doing, if I got news for you and Brexit's still coming up and you're like, oh my God, but please, please just change the stories. But the football is just, yeah. what a time to be a Red, eh? And it's, I think if you look at the last 4 or 5 years at the points tallies for Liverpool and City, and I think I read that 1 point separates the two of us over that time, and what a shame if we get done by a point again, but you know, we get the opportunity to sandwich their Premier League win if they get it with an FA Cup and a Champions League, so that's not bad, is it? Yeah.
You could do with one of those Southampton 9-0s tonight, couldn't you? You could do with, you need sort of five goals, don't you? I think you need to get that goal difference down.
If there's ever a team that's up for getting battered every so often, it's Southampton, isn't it? But I was, you know, because I've been having the day off today just to wait for the footy, and I've been doing all the permutations. And I think if we beat Southampton 6-0 and then Villa do City 1-0 and we draw with Wolves 1-1, that's where the playoff comes in. That means it's equal points, equal goal difference, equal goals scored. So that's the permutation that takes us to the playoff. But, you know, if we win both of our games and Steven Gerrard, Danny Ings can pop up with a winner
Coutinho.
There's just so much poetry in this, isn't there? I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Steven Gerrard brings himself on for the last 10 minutes.
changed. He's imagine that. Let's cross back. Jeff Shreves. He's announced himself on the bench, David. Imagine that. And suddenly he comes
there's a
on.
Penalty last 5 minutes.
Kevin De Bruyne slips over at the end.
Yeah. And a new song is born. Yeah, I think. And then you woke up.
absolutely, yeah. But you know, the chances are we won't get the Premier League, but it's lovely. It's going. It could go down to the last day if we win tonight, isn't it?
You often have a bit of a sting in the tail with a team like, you know, it feels like Southampton winding down a bit, and I'm no doubt the manager's kicking the players' backside. So if you could get a reaction this evening. They got some good players. They got some quality in the team. It could all click, but I mean, the last time out against Villa was pretty nervy, understandably, with what's at stake, and it could have easily gone a different way, couldn't it?
I mean, you can never let it be said. I mean, if Villa do beat City, you can't. No one can say, well, they turned up against City and they didn't against Liverpool because they were outstanding. You know, I mean, I was like, what's he playing at? Come on, Stevie.
What's he playing at? How dare you?
Doing his job.
Do you not realize who you support?
No, they were brilliant, weren't they? And it was a tense game. I didn't enjoy it. I mean, why did we bother? Because half of the time I'm listening to the footy and I'm like, I'm really not enjoying this. Both Chelsea finals, there wasn't anything enjoyable. But I hate playing Chelsea. But that Villa game was not a comfortable listen either. And you know, luckily we got the points. But if they can turn up like that against City, then who knows what can happen, you know?
I ask all Reds fans this. Would you swap three of them for one of them? Would you swap the Champions League and the FA Cup and the Carabao for the league?
No, because I like the fact that we're in for the quadruple. We've had a brilliant season, whatever happens. I'd love to get one over on Real Madrid. And you know, if we can finish a point behind City and that's what happens, then that's what happens. So, you know, there's a massive, you know, drop then, isn't there, to Chelsea. So it's whatever happens, it's been an outstanding season, hasn't it? That's the boring answer, but but come on, Villa.
when you go to Anfield, Chris, and you, the listeners may not know, Chris is blind. We have spoken to him on the show before, and you go to games and you're at the match and you're getting the kind of commentary. How does that work at your place? Is it Do you go to many games?
And
is it an earpiece or?
Yeah, so not these days. So what happens is you've got Steve Hunter who does the club commentary there, and that's the headset that you get, and he does. I mean, it's wonderfully biased commentary. When he sat there with John Aldridge and they're both just screaming, you know, it's like fan commentary but professional, you know, because they're good at their jobs. But when you listen, because you can get it free online, whenever you want to listen to a game, it is online, and it's amazing. But when you're in the ground, I've said this in the past, you can't hear the exciting bits because the crowd around you gets so noisy that whenever anything fun happens, it just gets drowned out. So you only ever really get the commentary for like the throw-ins. So
I mean, for Champions League nights, you could just play in Steve McManaman's co-coms for BT Sport, couldn't you? Really, wouldn't be any different.
I like the thought of the away blind fans having to use the home service. Yeah. Like, what's this?
It's a difficult one. You're at the game and you want to be sort of part of that. As you said, you want to soak up the atmosphere, but you kind of want to know what's going on at the same time. You don't want to shut out the atmosphere, do you, really, just to get the commentary? Yeah.
I mean, quite often you rely on whoever you're with just screaming in your face and what's happening, you know.
but they're probably in the moment, they say, yeah, don't worry, Chris, I'll talk you through the game. And then they're going, what's happening?
Yeah, it's a lot harder than you think, this commentary game, isn't it? You know, but you know, years ago, my girlfriend at the time, this is going back like probably 20 years or something, when we were in the Champions League, we were in Spain on holiday, and I can't remember if we were playing Alaves or something. We were in a bar and the commentary was in Spanish. And so I had no idea what was going on. And I said to her, just keep an eye on that. Let me know if like anything happens. Nothing happened. She didn't let me know anything. And I was like, well, that wasn't bad. A 0-0 draw away from home. And the next day I found out we got beat 1-0. Didn't even tell me. She went, I didn't notice. I was like, the numbers were on the screen. Did you not think?
So Champions League final, where will you be watching, do you know, Chris?
Well, this is where my life, guys, I'm on stage at the Crewe Lyceum Theatre.
Oh, wow.
On tour.
Do you know what? Like, I'm so grateful for people buying tickets to come and see me live, but I resent every single one of them. Yeah.
I think Adam's done it wrong as well, hasn't he? He's at the Adam Rose at the in. He's not in. Going to be.
Oh, he's
in
doing
Paris.
A gig as well.
He's got
is
a big
he?
Gig on. I think on the same night.
Wow.
You see, this is what happened. 2020. I said to the promoter, keep Champions League final night off. You know, just in case. Moved it to 2021. I said, keep that date off, just in case. And then everything got moved so many times. When I just took my eye off the ball, and when they got moved to 2022, I forgot to say the same thing again. And lo and behold, I'm in the Crewe Lyceum Theatre. And ahhing with what to do, whether to have somebody in the crowd keeping, like, let's go back to them. But if we do get beat, that's going to be a miserable second half of the show, isn't it?
Do you think, is it going to be best for the sake of the audience there that you don't? I mean, there's going to be crew. There's going to be Liverpool fans in there. So someone at some point is going to go.
Is there? There isn't, because they've got the choice not to come. Yeah.
that's a good point. That's a good point.
There's going to be empty seats in Crewe. That's what there's going to be for.
Yeah, they're going to be watching it. Yeah.
Oh, dear. That guy is going to be tough being on stage. I think you're going to find it very hard to concentrate on your set if you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, the thing is as well, is that anybody else, right, would be able to put their phone on the stool and just have a little glance over every so often. But because I can't see it, I'd have to get my phone out. My phone would have to go, Liverpool, you know, it's not a subtle thing I'm doing.
Well, can't you just shout, you know, when you get a big laugh, like some comics use a big laugh to have a sip of their beer or whatever, get a big laugh, shout, what's the score?
To ask Siri.
Well, Chris,
it'll start telling me what the weather in Madrid is, though, won't it? You know, enjoy
the game tonight. So you've got a night off, but you are you're at Epsom, Radlett, Andover, Glasgow, Edinburgh. You've still got plenty of gigs right through the end of the year.
I mean, I doubt there's anybody anybody listening to this station that isn't interested in the Champions League final. So there's no point plugging crew, is there?
Crew might be difficult. Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
But you guys didn't see that coming last night, did you? So it's all in your hands now, isn't
it?
Well,
yeah. So, as I said, I'm not crowing. I'm not counting any chickens, as they say in football. So we've got to do our bit.
It's all
now.
Down to Tottenham to Tottenham it up, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly. that's the nation's expectation, and I'm not gonna play up to that. But good to talk to you, Chris. Best of luck.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me on, guys.
Cheers, Chris.
Chris McCausland, go and see him in
especially
action.
Especially if you're in crew.
If you're in crew. He needs a turnout. He needs a turnout of Evertonians. big turnout of Evertonians in crew.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport. Jacko, sorry, I've just seen your question for Sylvain Distan. The moment is gone, but we will mark it. Could you ask Sylvain if he remembers what he was doing 14 years ago today? I wonder if Sylvain would have remembered.
Would he have known,
do you know what he was doing 14 years ago today?
What was he doing?
Winning the FA Cup.
FA Cup, yeah, I was
with Pompey.
Say, yeah, of course.
Yeah, he beat Cardiff, didn't he?
Lovely stuff.
We are going to have a chat with a former Pompey favourite, Jacko, if that helps a little bit later on. Christian Burgess is now playing over in Belgium with Union Gilwan, have done incredibly well. Looks like they're in Champions League qualifying. He was player of the year at Pompey a few years back, so we'll be chatting to him a little bit later on. But we are talking to a Saints fan as well, so it's not all gravy from your point of view today. Tom Deacon joins us ahead of the game against Liverpool tonight.
Yeah, you were asking for people who were calling people by the wrong name a lot.
Yes, before, that's what we mentioned. Ian Morris of Inbetweeners fame, who's been calling his postman the wrong name for 10 years. I saw him tweeting earlier on. It's a common thing, isn't it, where you overcompensate once you have called somebody.
Brent's been in touch. I've been wrongly calling my decorator Lucy over the last few days till my neighbour corrected me. After the 20th time of correctly calling her Tracy today, I'm sure she's just given me a look of, all right, give it arrest.
Yeah,
I get it.
Security guard in the building I used to work started calling me Paul, and I thought it was too awkward to correct him until I found out he was actually correcting other people who were calling me by my actual name. Head half the building calling me Paul before I knew it, says Colin.
No, that's Paul. Paul?
Paul. Paul. Colin Paul. That Paul, yeah. You asked, Charlie, you said the young Melvins. You didn't think there were any young Melvins out there. There's Melvin Odom, the TV presenter.
Of course, yeah.
Yes, he's
a huge talent.
Did you want Melvins under 50?
Anyone know any Melvins under 50?
Yeah.
And of course, Melvin Odom. So
it's big,
the game's
told
over.
Us about that. Yeah.
Stevie came in touch. There is a Melvin in his 30s.
Yeah.
He owns the pizza shop in Kilkeel, County Down.
Nice.
Couldn't believe it. It was his real name, myself.
Yeah.
There we are. There we County Down. You couldn't believe that.
So you can keep those coming. I mean, it was Charlie's question, not mine. Don't blame me.
We had another question. What was the other question, Paul?
Oh, it was about your mum.
Oh,
This is David Beckham.
Yeah,
David
lovely.
Beckham went back to have dinner and with his mum. His favourite meal his mum cooks him, which is gammon, chips, pineapple, fried egg, mushy peas and coleslaw. That's the only controversial part of it, but, you know. Mum made it, and he had a jam donut and a cup of tea afterwards.
Yeah, Mick Ferry, who's a very funny comedian, he refuses to eat a full English if the beans touch the rest of the food.
Really? So he has to have a little bean island.
He has to have a minute,
ramekin.
A bean island or a side ramekin. It's his one thing.
Mitch Ferry's Bean Island. That's if Channel 5 are listening. That might take off.
There we are, yeah.
Yeah.
I went to school with Melvin.
That would be Mitch Ray's Bean Island.
Mixing up.
Next time I see him, I'm going to overcompensate with Mick. But if imagine that. Bean Island is a kind of celebrity quiz which is based around internal gas.
Oh,
and
okay.
You leave the island, basically.
It's like Love Island.
But kind of. It's the antithesis of Love Island. You're on Mick Ferry's Bean Island.
Yeah.
And the one who goes, you know what I mean?
But
you know what I'm saying?
Is everybody holding it in, Paul,
they
or
are
they letting it out?
Which is not safe. You'd have to have a doctor on
there. Is there a round better out than in?
Yeah. No, there's not. It's basically people constantly looking uncomfortable until they're all mic'd up.
Yeah.
Probably more than one mic. And then your leaving. Was that you, Sue Pollard? Leave Bean Island. Mick gives her a send off. She gets on the boat waving. It wasn't me.
Bear Prey from EastEnders.
I'm wearing squeaky shoes.
He's dropped one first.
Yeah. It's a bit basic. I'll tell you, I've seen worse on the telly.
But can you hold it in?
Someone somewhere has just written that in a margin and said, Bean Island.
Paul, I think you're onto something. I think it's good because it's a grubby show. Because all they get to eat is baked beans, right? Yeah. All they get, and sprouts, maybe a few sprouts. Baked beans and sprouts. Yeah. Right, we're going into the sprout round now. And everyone.
From Wickham and Charlton player Marcus Bean has been invited to take part by our producer.
Bean Island.
It's a terrible idea.
Sean Bean, of course, does the voiceover.
I've been doing this. It's day four. It'd be great, wouldn't it? I don't know who that was.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't Sean Bean. Anyway,
I worked
with a fellow called Teddy for 7 years. Turned out his name was Terry. And I was only alerted to this when I saw it on his retirement card. It says Phil in Belfast. He was probably going in every day saying, "Morning, Edward."
Yeah.
Edward. Doing all this.
Teddy Bear.
Like, yeah. And then just, and this bloke thinking, oh, it's him again. The one who doesn't know my name.
There we are.
Last month I started a new job. Who's this? It's from Anon. Is that Anon or is it or is it Alan? Anyway, it's either somebody called Alan or someone doesn't want to be known as Alan. Last month I started a new job. Was introduced to our European sales director, who was in the office from France. With his strong French accent, he called himself what I thought was Sylvia.
Oh, yeah.
A bit confused, I said his name back to him to confirm. He then said, Sylvia, again. I shook his hand and we passed compliments as you do, and I carried on my day after three meetings, all of which involved Sylvia, and a team dinner that night, throughout which I continue with pride to call him Sylvia. We get the idea. But his, I discovered his name was Sylvan. We've just been speaking to a Sylvan.
Not quite the ending
I was hoping for. considering we just spoke to someone called, it was a bit, don't tell that one on Piers Morgan, eh? Just, I think, run that past the researcher first. The old,
have you got anything? I've got,
he probably corners you and says,
don't worry, I've got something.
I've got this anyway. He's going to tell the Sylvia story again. Back off, move away. Unless, don't listen, just put
Gabriel Hines got a spot on Bean Island. That's from Joe Ashdown.
Oh, okay.
Footballers for Bean Island. We'll take your footballers for Bean Island.
Celebrity Bean Island.
Guy Branston, lovely. Yeah, what a lovely one.
It's very much a celebrity format, I see it as.
It's very good, Paul. I'm really into it. Genuinely, I think it's really good. You have the beautiful people.
Yeah,
you know, the beautiful people.
Oh, yeah,
that's
it.
They've all got to hold it in, progressively get fed more chili.
It's all six
more
packs.
Beans, and then, more sprouts, you know.
And it accentuates
exactly.
Yeah.
And when they finally do one, Paul, they are like, march. You know, have you seen that? In shame.
Yeah.
Dong.
Yeah.
Dong. Big bell.
Yeah.
And all the ugly people go, get off Bean Island.
Charlie, you're embracing this. Far too much.
They get all the ugly people out. One of us. One of us.
Charlie's gone.
Dean Windass, of course.
I'm looking through the glass. Just think Gary Lineker. Gazza, have a word with him, because he's gone.
Wayne Booth says, of course, Dean Windass. Of course, Paul.
Oh yeah,
straight on Bean Island.
Oh, Josh. The father and son presentation team, that would be fantastic.
Father and son team.
James in Murfield says, things you only eat at your parents. Every time we had a family party at my parents', my mum always prepared a buffet. For some reason, she always had a bowl of raw onions and malt vinegar included with the spread, says James United fan.
Oh, yeah.
Nice bowl of raw onions.
Beetroot. We'd always have, my nan's, who ran a guest house in Babbacombe in Torquay, she'd always have beetroot on the table. Just in the middle there,
always.
Beetroot. Some pickled onions in Bean Island. That'd be a tough day, Paul. Oh,
Charlie, you are forbidden to keep talking about Bean Island. It's never going to make it onto the screens.
It's great.
It's never going to make it onto the screens. I think that time has passed.
I'm leaving. I'm done. I'm done here. I'm off to pitch it.
Charlie Baker's Bean Island. Yeah. Thanks. Remember where you heard it first, folks.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, it's fair to say I think the season has been winding down for a few weeks for Southampton, but big statement performance tonight. They could be kingmakers.
Yeah.
They'll be cheering them on, much as I was cheering on Newcastle last night. The City fans will be cheering on Saints this evening.
Yeah, but they're one of the... Also, Southampton, that Liverpool... They've got that thing of being Liverpool's second team, haven't they, you know?
Yes.
The youth... Not the youth team, the sort of... feeder
the
team.
Academy.
So yeah, the Academy. They want to get out of that, won't they? You know.
So
that's for Van Dijk.
No, you're right. There's a little bit of history there between the two clubs, and the fact that they could play a part tonight in seeing off the title from Liverpool's point of view. Who knows? Let's find out now from comedian and big Southampton fan Tom Deacon. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Gentlemen, lovely to chat to you today. And this is a beautiful moment. This could be it feels like a title potential for Southampton here is on the line.
Because the amount of, there's been a lot of traffic between your clubs over the years, mainly going in one direction, of course, from your place to theirs. Is there a bit of edge tonight?
No. there isn't. I mean, look, Liverpool have been phenomenal for the last couple of seasons. And Southampton have sold them some, delightful players, and they've gone on to do very well. You know, Sadio Mane is one of those players, Virgil van Dijk. But I don't think there is any rivalry. Southampton need to finish on a high because it's been such a hit or miss season. Mm. And Liverpool need to win to keep that title chance alive. So I think it's just going to be a brilliant all-round game. But no, there's no ill feeling. If they want to spend a lot of money on our players, then they're more than welcome.
They loaned you back Minamino. What's the problem?
Exactly. And he scored maybe two or three goals. So that was well worth it. They're two teams that absolutely have had very differing seasons. And as a Southampton fan, I want Ralph to kind of ignite those guys to just show us what we're capable of. Because sometimes we can be just phenomenal and you're thinking Europe's got to be happening this year. Mm. And then other times you're like, why have we not been in the bottom three? It's been shocking. So, it keeps you on the edge of your seat.
I mean, you wouldn't want to get sucked any further down the table because we've seen glimpses of what Southampton are capable of in games this year. But, you know, if results didn't go your way tonight for the rest of the season, and you know, you could end up in about sort of 17th. And, you know, that would, of course, be a fair reflection on where you should deserve to end at the end of the season. But you should be doing better than that, shouldn't you?
I feel so. I feel like we should be doing better than that. But then, you know, as we all know, the Premier League is not an easy league to be in. And at the start of the season, a lot of bookies were saying, hey, Southampton, they're likely to go down. We'd lost our top leading goal scorer in Danny Ings. And yet we've galvanised and at the right times done enough. So I feel like I'm hoping, as if those that don't know the Southampton story, we've kind of haven't spent a lot of money over the last few seasons. And Ralph Hasenhüttl hasn't had that capital, even less than the teams coming into the Premier League have had. So I think if we can just get through this season, not get sucked any lower down in the table, maybe he'll be given a bit of a budget to spend next year with new owners. And you never know, top 10 would be an ideal, and that would be very exciting as a Saints fan.
He's been there a while though, so I mean, if he starts badly, are there any questions about his job at all, Tom?
I think from going and talking to the fans, there has been a kind of a rise in people being annoyed about his tactics sometimes, and they keep saying, you know, hashtag Ralph out, and that's growing. And the more that we look a little bit lackluster and don't know where we're going in terms of direction and what we're doing as a football club, then yeah, his name's going to be called for time to go. But at the same time, hey, you know, what do you expect as a Southampton fan? Do you expect to be, you know, up in the top half of the table? I don't think we've invested enough in the team, but we had a great cup run. You know, not all things are bad. I think let's see what happens when Ralph has some money at his disposal. Mm. And let's see what he can do then, because he's fantastic with the young players that we're bringing through. And that's cause for optimism. So I'm loving it, but you know, let's see, like you say, Charlie, if a couple of matches go against him next season, when he spent some money, then he'll be the first one to go out the door, won't he?
No Salah tonight, no Van Dijk. So look, you've got a better chance than maybe you would normally have.
Yes, 100%. You know, they're fantastic players. And look, they played 120 minutes of what was quite a dull FA Cup final until the penalty shootouts happened. So they're going to have some tired legs. And if, as we haven't played Southampton since the Brentford loss, and let's key that word, loss, we've got some energised legs and we'd be ready to go. So if we can't beat them now, when are you going to be able to beat Liverpool?
Yeah, that's very true. And you, what did you do at the club? Were you the match day host, Tom? Was you, did you do the side of the pitch stuff? And
hello, someone's done their research. Yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah. I did.
Wikied you.
You wicked me. Oh, it's been put up. I've been kept on at them. I was like, please put that up. I would do the halftime entertainment. So that would be penalty shootouts. Have I done a live halftime marriage proposal? Oh, yes,
wow.
I have.
Wow, lucky. Yeah. Did she say
in
yes?
Front of, luckily, she did in front of 3,000 West Ham fans. I felt like the mood was going to turn if she said no, which was beautiful. But yeah, we used to do the halftime entertainment and then doing Saints Live and just done some of their adverts for one of the companies there. So working with the players and just hosted their Saints Foundation charity night. So I'm very much involved in the club, picking up a few things here and there. And the last thing I did here was the ownership is going to be back in Ralph to spend some money next season. So it's cause for optimism.
You also present esports on something, don't you? And is it what? I know it sounded good in my accent. Esports, is it? And yeah. I know what that is, but is it the racing one you do? As you know, I don't know anything about it.
Yes.
Tell me all about it.
Charlie, we've gigged for years. Charlie.
I know, but I don't know what the thing is. I've seen you do seen the pictures with like the racing things, yeah. Like, you know, graphics, good graphics.
good. Yeah, for anybody listening right now, it's like, what is this that they're chatting about? So esports is the professional side of gaming.
Yeah, I know that.
I'm not just telling you, Charlie, it was for everybody.
Don't know nothing about something, Charlie, and then start having a go at Tom because he tells you what it is.
I thought he did one specific racing series. I didn't know if it was all the esports.
Okay.
No, I don't do all of the esports. That would be that. I'm very not busy at the moment, but I could do with more of the diary. So F1 esports is the actual affiliated F1. So the drivers who are, you know, pros in the sim racing. So they've got the steering wheel, the pedals, the full stuff, the full kit. They are signed by F1 teams and then compete. I think the last prize pool was $750,000. Wow. Against the 10 teams. So, and it's happening, it's coming back this year. And I believe I can say it, maybe I can't. We're going back to Abu Dhabi, that's where it started. Mm. So, actually, at the Grand Prix, the likes of Fernando Alonso was popping up next to me to have an interview, David Coulthard. It's a very exciting time for sim racing. And during the lockdown, we had the virtual Grand Prix, so we'd have the likes of Roberto Carlos or Sergio Aguero. And
the dog doesn't want you to go. Don't leave me, Daddy. Don't go to Abu Dhabi, Daddy. Don't leave me.
Not being attacked, here.
Yeah, it was Sergio Aguero was the trigger. That's right.
And a massive Man City fan is my dog.
Yeah, fantastic. Talk about the QPR goal, he's saying. What about the statue? Trying to get involved.
Joey Barton got sent off that day. Just don't remind the dog. So it's a very exciting competition and it's coming back this year. And it's a delight, you know, to be able to host that. And I hope people enjoy watching it with all them graphics, Charlie?
All them graphics.
Yeah, that's what we love about the esports. Just finally, when you have the halftime entertainment. I mean, often you might interview a legend, pitch side and all that. But did you have any weird and wonderful stuff? Or was it like kicking a ball into a shed? Did you get involved in any of that sort of stuff?
Well, the interesting thing is because you're trying to score a penalty against a life-size dog, I don't want to ruin anything, but it's a mascot.
Sammy, isn't it Sammy?
Yeah, Sammy the Saint. Mm. And he's a very competitive person. So you could hear an occasional F and Jeff, if he did let the goal in, that was entertaining. There was a very fun time with Franny Bernardi, who's an absolute Southampton legend, Matt Letiz and Paul Jones, the goalkeeper, trying to be heard next to the West Ham fans that day. And that was not easy. And it's quite entertaining the closer you are to the away fans when you're doing a match day interview, and they do not let you hear anything. It's all good natured, but just scoring past a very competitive mascot is a highlight.
Yeah, many years ago we put one of our staff on Goal Magazine, Paula, was in the outfit for Huey the U. They had Rammy the Ram. They decided to introduce Huey the U.
Lovely.
So he asked Derby County, would they mind Paula getting in the UE the U outfit for the day just to experience what it like being in that outfit during a match day. And I can't remember who Derby were playing, but the filth she got from the away fans. Somebody in a used costume.
Used costume.
Filth.
Really?
Honestly.
Wow.
Well, they think, well, think the mascot's a fair right. game.
Well, the best thing about the wedding proposal, which I've started telling people in my stand-up, is the fact that when she said yes and they embraced, 3,000 West Ham fans in unison proceeded to shout, "You don't know what you're doing."
Yes.
"You don't know what you're doing."
Could have been worse. Which is, could have been worse.
Could have been worse.
Could have been far worse.
Yeah.
But I love that about the away fans. They bring an energy to every game, which is much needed.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Those things you only ever eat when you go back to your old mum. David Beckham was pictured with his mum, Sandra, eating his favourite meal as a kid. She made it for him again for old time's sake. Doesn't matter. How old is still her little boy?
Yeah.
Gammon, chips, pineapple, fried egg, mushy peas. Yeah. I'd still say marginally controversial in the gammon. Well, yeah, maybe the mushy as opposed to the regular garden. Okay. But then we introduce coleslaw, I think is 03717 2233.
How are you doing coleslaw? The gammon, Paul? Are you doing gammon, egg, pineapple? Are you going gammon? Yep. Pineapple egg.
Is it jam or cream, cream or jam? Is it? Which, what is it about being people you go, from the West Country? Which, you have an order.
What's your order, that, though? What do you want?
Starts Border Wars.
A pineapple fritter. Jackson's Chip Shop, Newton Abbott.
Really?
Used to do it. Ursula, who was my
is that what
friend's
they called
mum.
The fritter? Okay, sir. I'll have two Ursulas,
who
please,
my,
Brenda.
Who was my friend's mum, Ursula? She was good at the pineapple fritter. It was basically a deep-fried pineapple ring.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, and we'd go to stock car, Newton stock car on a Wednesday.
So you think
can of lilt and a pineapple fritter and chips on the way up.
Pineapple, yeah, healthy for you.
Yeah,
chuck it in the deep
exactly,
fat fryer.
Yeah.
The Newton Abbott way.
So you haven't answered.
Anyway,
Paul.
I'd go
gammon, egg, pineapple, gammon, pineapple,
I'd go gammon,
egg. I'd go
egg, and I'd lay over the yellow of the centre of the egg. I'd lay the carefully lay the pineapple over.
Would
the top
you though?
Of
but
it.
The ring isn't that the hole isn't big enough for the yolk of the egg.
You'd see
a hint of egg.
You'd see a hint of yolk.
Beautiful.
To entice you in.
Beautiful.
Anyway, but that's not the point. The reason I bring it up is that Jack's been in touch. He said my lovely gran, not his mum, used to make proper homemade rag pudding and
chips.
Yeah.
We didn't know what that was.
Now, we've never heard of rag pudding. It's steak and kidney pie, but it's steamed in a cloth. Sensational.
Lovely.
You ever been steamed in a cloth, Charlie? and you'd have rag pudding and chips whenever I visited.
Oh.
As she got older, the rags got a bit questionable. Old woolly jumpers
or
20-year-old vests. But it all added to the flavour. Beautiful.
Oh,
thank you, Jack, for those little memories of your
own. Mike Knowles. Pineapple and eggs don't go together. Barbarians. I'm sort of tempted
no, I'm not,
to
this
agree.
This is David Beckham. Sandra, take it up with Sandra,
agree.
Not us.
I'm tempted to
he
agree.
Wanted it. He wanted it.
Chop girl said my mum used to serve us liver
on
pancake day.
Pancake day. They would have a pre-pancake liver and bacon, which is a bit odd.
Yeah, too much, isn't it?
Yeah.
Liver and bacon fills in too much meat.
Oh, no, liver and bacon.
That's
good,
too much
a
meat,
combo.
Though, liver
no,
and onions.
No pineapple and egg situation, as Glenn would call it.
Chop liver served at my first school, no lie. Everyone was so young afraid that they actually ate that.
Yeah.
Everyone monstered mince and rice every Wednesday. So good, I still remember the day. I've even tried to replicate it at home. What, mince and rice?
Yeah.
Mum's upside down cake with golden syrup is probably her best. Upside down pineapple.
I thought he was just telling you that mum's upside down. What's your trapeze artist? Anyway, I live next, and we also asked you today, the co-creator of The Inbetweeners, QPR fan, fine goalkeeper. Well, colleague on fantasy football, Ian Morris, said he's just discovered today that he's been calling his postman by the wrong name for 10 years, and now doesn't know how to get out of it.
No.
We've beaten 10 years. Paul.
Okay.
Paul says I live next door to Len and Tina
for
15 years.
All right, Len. All right, Tina.
Hello, Len. Tina. All right. Morning. That's not bad. Be raining later.
Glass of wine at Christmas, Len?
Yeah, probably did. Pop round to say goodbye on the day they moved out, and Len casually mentioned that his name is actually Clive. When asked why he'd never corrected us, he said he'd never really liked the name Clive and actually preferred Len. Very good.
He had a new identity, Paul. He liked it.
He liked Len.
He liked it. I'm going to go around. He's got a spy name.
Yeah, he did. He has got a spy name. Yeah, that's right.
It's lovely.
I spent a whole dinner party speaking to a lady who I recognised as the rower, Helen Glover. It's I went on all night, and just at the end, she leant over and said, "You do realise I'm Catherine Granger, don't you?" Says Darren, the West Brom fan. So there we are. You can keep those coming. Try and squeeze a few more in. Talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089 or tweet to TS. H&J. What have we got here? We had a shared garden with my neighbour of 15 years.
Oh, this is a belter.
She never uses it. So we asked if we could put the kids' trampoline in it and posted a nice note through the door to Angela. We got a very short reply saying, "Yes, you can use the garden." Signed Lynn, says Stew in Glasgow. It's not even close, is it? It's not one you could actually miss here.
Clive and Len is my favourite.
My nickname, you wanted to know about more Melvins. Young Melvins is the name you hear very often.
Melvin and Doom, we know about that.
And we thought we'd heard from Alan. He said, my nickname at school was Mel, not because I'm called Melvin, but I've got a big head, and it was short for melon, apparently. That's a bit of a childhood trauma. Don't bring us all down. Keep it light.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Unfortunately, we didn't get round to the World Watercress Eating Champion. Oh. I know the listeners will be gutted about that,
yes.
But we're working on it. It's a tougher booking.
It's a hard booking, isn't it? Yeah. Do you have to work your way up to that?
I don't know. I mean, it's sort of, you know, we like a bit of competitive eating on the show, and I don't think we've encountered
different watercress in different countries. Be a bit, not for you, Paul. Peppery, and it's quite peppery, some of it sometimes.
I'm not sure. You're not going to do peppery Guardiola, are you?
I wasn't going to do anything of the sort.
That's good.
Herman Crespo. I wasn't going to say
no,
it.
No, you weren't going to say any of that. That's very good.
Is it the crest that they, grow out the top of like a potato or like, and you draw a face on it? And it's like the hair that grows. Is that it?
So we never spoke to him,
know.
Charlie.
We don't know.
We'll never know.
We do not know.
This is an old chestnut, this one. This was a guy who wrote to the Telegraph. He said, "Sir, football is unusual in having very long periods, sometimes whole matches without any score."
Yeah.
"The size of the goals were decided in the mid-19th century, but goalkeepers are about 7% taller today."
Yeah.
"Isn't it time the goals were enlarged by, say, 10%?
Gosh.
Yeah. Mike Parry, of course, this was very much his one-man campaign to make the goals bigger in football. For this very reason, people have got bigger, therefore goals need to get better. He says, make them bigger by 10%, allowing for a little future increase in keepers' stature. Would you like to see that, Charlie?
No.
Would you like to see goals made bigger?
I think there's plenty of goals.
Yeah.
There's plenty of goals, aren't there? It's not like everyone's going, well, the goal's too small.
I want to do the record books games start ending, you know, in the old days when the goals were small, you get 9-8s and 10-7s and stuff.
Fine. It's
no one wants to watch. That's
football.
Not the score
I'm
of
back
a football,
to the regular
mate.
List of leave football alone. It's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Absolutely fine.
There was sad news today. We haven't spoken about it yet, but we will tomorrow because Jason Robinson's going to join us, a man who played both codes of rugby. And Maurice Lindsay, we had earlier on... died today. He was involved not just with Preston North End but Wigan Rugby League, and we had him on the show a couple of times.
Yeah.
He was quite a character. He was all very interesting, and he was also part of a real sort of forerunner of those behind the scenes documentaries at a sort of sports franchise.
Okay.
They did a thing called Up and Under, I think it was in the early 90s, and it took you backstage at Wigan at a really interesting time for the club when there's lots of new players coming, exciting times. And it was brilliant.
They were winning everything then as well, weren't they? Wigan was
the dominant side of lots of great players. And he was front and centre in that. And I was noticing quite a lot of those episodes of that are still on YouTube.
Oh,
so I might go back and watch a couple of those after all these years. But I just remember it being a real insight. You know, I mean, we've kind of got used to that. The sort of cameras are backstage everywhere. In the same way that, of course, we chose last year at Tottenham to have the cameras around Jose. Of course, Arsenal chose it this year.
This year, wow, yeah.
But, you know, who knows? Look, there are still
and
one
Wrexham,
more round.
Of... Wrexham, Paul, that's what part of the Hollywood deal at Wrexham. They've got, they're having a documentary made, of course, and they've just missed out Sunday on the automatics, and they're now in the dreaded National League playoffs. So they've got to wait and see who they're going to play in that. So, but will it have a Hollywood ending, Paul?
Do you think Stockport will do all right? You think they'll stay?
I think they'll win League Two.
Really?
They're winning League Two.
They're investing,
plenty of money.
Aren't they?
National League's harder than the League Two.
Well, Sutton have done well, haven't they?
Yeah.
Do teams then generally not go straight back down again?
Never has done. I don't think I have for a long, long time.
Wow, I see.
The National League is
no yo-yoing.
National League is a lot tougher than League Two. Definitely.
Really?
Definitely.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Andy's back tomorrow. Charlie, you're here on Thursday.
Thursday.
Birthday spread.
Yeah, I hope there's some names actually recognised this week.
Yeah, it was quite a tough one
last
week.
It was a tough week.
Do hope you can join us tomorrow from 1. Have a fine evening. Hopefully we'll catch up with you then. If not, the podcast, as always, available around 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.